Our second scripture lesson is from Paul's book to the Romans. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, we're going to talk about talking about God. But talking about God can be difficult to get right, even among clergy. A priest and a pastor from two local churches were standing by the side of the road holding up a sign that read, "The end is near. Turn yourself around before it's too late." Their plan was to hold up the sign to each passing motorist. The first driver sped by and yelled, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts!" A few moments later, from around the curve, they heard screeching tires and a big splash. "Do you think," said one of the clergy to the other, "we should change the sign to just say, Bridge out?" On the day of Pentecost, the church began to talk. And in a sense, they talked about the old bridge being out. And they pointed the way to a new bridge, Jesus Christ. The book of Acts says that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability, which bewildered the international community in Jerusalem because each one heard them speaking in their own native tongue. Using a variety of languages, the apostles began talking publicly that day about God's deeds of power. And Peter takes the lead, proclaiming that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is on Pentecost that the silence of the church was broken. There will be no more cowering behind locked doors, afraid and confused. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, church members began to talk openly about God's power at work among them and the salvation offered through Jesus. The result of this open dialogue is that 3,000 people come to believe in Christ and join the church that day. The words spoken by Peter and the other apostles spark explosive growth in the Jerusalem church, reminding us that then and now, God talk has the power to change lives. But it also makes me wonder if we, the church, are losing our voice. In October, an article appeared in the New York Times by religion writer Jonathan Merritt. He reported that it is getting harder and harder to talk about God. Although more than 70% of Americans identify as Christians, most of us don't feel comfortable talking about our faith. According to a recent Barna survey, more than 3/4 of Americans do not engage in spiritual or religious conversations. 6 in 10 say that they have those kinds of conversations only on rare occasions. A meager 7% of Americans say that they talk about spiritual matters regularly. 7%. What if only 7% of the apostles had spoken up on the day of Pentecost? The Barna findings weren't particularly surprising because that survey included a cross-section of people, both churchgoers and those who aren't. The shocking finding of the Barna research, in my opinion, was that practicing Christians, those who attend church regularly, didn't do a whole lot better than the general population. Only 13% of them reported having a spiritual conversation even once a week. All of which raises the question, why do we struggle so much when it comes to talking about God? Jonathan Merritt's observation is that today, work often takes precedence over worship, social lives are prioritized over spiritual disciplines, and most people save their Sunday best clothing for Monday through Friday. The Barna survey reveals further that a lot of people believe that spiritual conversations create tension or even lead to arguments, and some are concerned by the trend to politicize religion. A smaller number don't do God talk because they don't want to appear religious, sound weird, or seem extremist. One of my conclusions from the Barna research is that church, we've got our work cut out for us. But we knew that already, didn't we? Talking about God can be tricky, there's no doubt about it. But the reality is that Jesus didn't give us a choice about whether to speak about issues of faith. Because if we don't, there will be no church of the future. The question is not whether we will talk about God, but how. Paul gives us some guidance in his letter to the Romans. And lest we think that it is harder for us than it was for Paul to speak about faith, think again. Paul is writing to followers of Christ living in the capital of the Roman Empire at a place and time like today where spiritual conversations could create tensions and arguments, when Christians in Rome could come across as weird or extremist, and where persecution was a very real and present threat. Christians' lives were at stake. So the language Paul uses is very carefully chosen. And like Paul, we too need to be careful with the language we use in conversations about faith. For starters, our language needs to be relatable. Words that we use in worship and maybe even take for granted in worship, like when we talk about being called by God or when we talk about communion as the body and blood of Christ, those kinds of phrases are meaningful here, but they are meaningless to people who have no background in church or point of reference with Scripture. It would be like two MBAs who might discuss among themselves the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, but when they go to explain what they do to a friend, they're going to say that they're an accountant or a financial advisor. Knowing our audience and tailoring our language to be meaningful in that context is critical. Paul is not only careful with the language he chooses, he also talks about values, not dogma. In other places, of course, Paul is well known for his theological arguments, but here he speaks clearly about life in God's family, knowing that being connected is something that most people want for themselves and the people they care about. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, he says. In other words, The Spirit leads us away from self-centered living and toward God-centered living. As part of the family of God, we want God to shape our actions, our attitudes, and our values so that we become an accurate reflection of who God is. Paul gets more specific about how we are to live out these God-shaped values later on in Romans in chapter 12, where he says, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers." Love, mutual affection, honor, zeal, hope, perseverance, generosity, hospitality. These are words that we can talk about openly. They can be understood by almost anyone, whether inside or outside the church. And these are marks of a true follower of Jesus, seen in the life of a person who is led by the Holy Spirit into the family of God. Most people will discuss what they value and what is important to them. And that provides us with an opening that dogma often won't. Paul then goes on to show us how to speak about God directly, again, putting it in the context of the family. God is like a father who has adopted us to be his children. And this means at least three things: that we are chosen, that we can talk to God intimately, and that we are heirs. According to the Roman concept of adoption, an adopted child has a whole new identity, a new status, an entirely new set of relationships. Such a child is chosen to become a part of a new family. And because the Spirit of God makes us God's adopted children, we are empowered to speak of God in this intimate parental terminology, calling God Abba, which is the English equivalent of daddy. Talking about how God is like a parent to us who chooses us and gives us a new family is language people can relate to. This family language means that we can talk to God like we talk to anyone who loves us, who cares about us, and who wants what is best for us. This can be a particularly powerful way to talk about God with others because there are so many people that we run across day by day who do not have this kind of loving, positive bond in their own families. More and more people do not experience unconditional love, unlimited grace, an unmerited acceptance, where our value comes from who we are, not from what we do. The truth that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less, can be a lifeline for those whose own family relationships are fraught with pain and suffering and dysfunction. Finally, as adopted daughters and sons, we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This means, according to Professor of Biblical Studies Richard Carlson, that we are destined to be fully conformed to the glorious image of God that now exists in God's Son, Jesus. we will find ourselves side by side with our brother Jesus, the one who is the firstborn of a very large family. Being an heir feels good, doesn't it? It means we have an inheritance. But being a joint heir with Jesus does not mean instant luxury or ease. We may need to suffer with Jesus so that we may also be glorified with him, in Paul's language. The life of faith for followers of Christ is inevitably going to include sacrifice and suffering. Yes, we have a Spirit-led life, but such a life requires us to sometimes pick up our cross and follow. As unfamiliar and uncomfortable as we may be talking about God, it is absolutely essential that we do so. In his New York Times article, Jonathan Merritt went on to say that language connected with Christian virtues is declining in our common life, right along with the rest of the ways we talk about God. He says that over the past century, words related to compassion, like kindness, have dropped 56%. Gratitude words like thankfulness have declined 49%. Humility words like modesty have fallen by 52%. When these kinds of words fall out of circulation, our lives and our entire culture suffers. Which is why today, Pentecost Sunday, is a good day for us to reclaim our voice. Not with religious jargon, but with clear words about what it means to be the children of God who are filled and led by the Holy Spirit. When we speak of love, honor, service, hope, generosity, and hospitality, and better yet, when we back up our words with our actions, the world will listen. So speak up, church. If we don't, who do you think will?